The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. So there you are, going about your life, enjoying it. Maybe you're in your 20s, maybe in 30s, maybe in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. Doesn't matter. Life is good. Everything is going well. You're looking forward to that week-long getaway at the beach or up in the mountains or maybe going to Europe or something. Man, things are going well. But you have this doctor's appointment. And you go to the doctor and the doctor examines you and, you know, it's your annual physical. They take blood. And he seems a little concerned. He orders some more tests for you. So you go to the hospital or wherever to get those tests done. And within a week, the phone call comes. He's afraid that you have some awful condition. He's afraid that perhaps you have cancer or some serious cardiac disease or some blood disorder of some kind. So further tests are done. And then after another couple of weeks of anxiety and waiting, wondering what's going on, what your future is going to be, comes the news. You're going to die. You are seriously ill. In fact, you are eaten up with this disease that is going to kill you. And you did not even know it. Life was good, you thought. You were the picture of health and vitality, and suddenly, out of the blue, comes this devastating news that throws you for a loop and leaves you stunned and speechless and confused and despairing. Guess what? That's how you and I should hear our Lord's words in today's gospel reading. Now, gospel means good news, and there is not a whole lot of good news in today's gospel reading because Jesus describes you and he describes me. He describes all people who have ever lived or ever will live. It does not matter what your social status is. It does not matter your age. It does not matter what kind of shows you like to watch on TV or what kind of music you like to listen to, what kind of car you drive, who your friends are. This applies to all of us. Jesus speaks of the things that defile a person. To defile is to make unclean in the technical sense of the word in the Judaism of the day. To defile made someone unfit for God's presence, unfit to worship God. Now, earlier, you remember, Jesus had a controversy with the Pharisees. They said, "Why is it that your disciples don't wash their hands up to the elbow before they eat? Why don't they follow the tradition of the fathers in this?" And Jesus nailed them. He says, "You're putting in the place of God's commandments, the traditions of men. And that is wrong. That shows that you do not honor God except with your lips, but you do not honor him in your heart." So the subject of what makes a person unclean in God's eyes comes up. And Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter if you wash your hands all the way down to your ankles. That itself is not going to make you clean in God's eyes. In fact, you are not made unclean by anything that you eat. So, feel free to eat that decaying skunk that you see by the roadside. If you really want to, it won't make you unclean in God's eyes, although your friends and family may avoid you. Now, doesn't matter if you eat pork. The Jewish dietary laws are abrogated in Jesus Christ. They no longer apply. So what you eat, what you drink, does not defile you before God. In fact, Jesus says, hear me. That's imperative. Hear me. Pay attention. Listen to what I have to say. Do it. All of you, the crowds, the disciples, all the people around Jesus, he calls to them and he tells them, come, hear what I have to say. Understand what I'm saying. Don't just let it go in one ear and out the other without impacting you at all. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him. The crowds are dismissed. Jesus goes into the house. He leaves the people. And his disciples want catechesis. They want instruction into what he means. So they said, tell us what you meant by this parable. We don't get it. Jesus asks them, as he asked the disciples multiple times in the gospel, are you also without understanding? Don't you see? Don't you understand? Don't you get it? It's not what goes into a person from outside that defiles him, since what comes into a person, what he eats, doesn't enter into his heart, but his stomach, his digestive system, and then it is expelled. Literally, it goes into the latrine. Here is what defiles a person, Jesus says. Here is what makes a person unclean in God's eyes. For from within, out of the heart of man, and that man there is inclusive, it means out of the heart of a human, come peace and joy and love and light and harmony and soft little bunnies running over the green meadow grass. No. Out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, / blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within, and they are what defiles a person. Don't know if you were noticing, but Jesus really names a bunch of the commandments there. Sexual immorality / fornication. There's the sixth commandment, the breaking of the sixth commandment, whether in thought, word, or deed. That comes out of the evil heart. Theft. There's the seventh commandment. Murder. The fifth commandment. And we have to remember that to hate someone is to be guilty of murder. Adultery, there's the sixth commandment again. Coveting, there's the ninth and tenth commandments. Wickedness, that's just a general term that covers all unrighteousness, every sin against God's commandment. Deceit, that could be the second commandment or the eighth commandment, bearing false witness. Sensuality, hey, that covers anything. Gluttony comes under that heading. Envy, again, ninth and tenth commandments. Slander and or blasphemy. That could be the second commandment, speaking against God's holy name, misusing God's name. And it can also be speaking against our neighbor. Then pride, that puffed upness, thinking we are better than human beings, thinking we are better than others, maybe have an inflated opinion of ourselves, thinking we are holy before God when in fact, according to the standards of His law, none of us is holy, none of us is righteous, none of us does what is good. You shall have no other gods before me. The first commandment says, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. The Catechism explains it. And if we are prideful of ourselves, we've taken the place of God. And then foolishness, folly. To be a fool is to lack the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. To be a fool is to be someone who recognizes not his or her need of God's word, God's grace, God's wisdom, who recognizes not, even though it may be acknowledged with the lips, Jesus as the only one who redeems us, the only one in whom we have forgiveness of sins, the only one who can save us from the hell that these things we have read about lead us into. All these evil things come from within, out of our hearts, and they are what defiles a person. Again, this is true of everybody. St. Paul said, I know that nothing good dwells within me. That is within my sinful nature. Paul said of himself, I am the chief of sinners. And this is St. Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles, the one who wrote the majority of the New Testament. The one who was martyred for Christ's sake by having his head cut off. The one who gladly died because to die was to be with the Lord. This is Paul who describes himself as not having anything good within him. Hey, if it's good enough for Paul, or maybe more accurately, if it's bad enough for Paul, then it's bad enough for me and you too. See, it's not just our outward acts that condemn us before God. The outward acts flow from the evil heart within us. That is what pollutes us. That is what makes us unclean. Think of it this way. You're up in the mountains. Now, you shouldn't do this now, but when I was a kid, we did. You're hiking, say up at Shordoff or Table Rock. It's a warm summer day. You're very thirsty, and you come to a spring. And there's a cup beside the spring, a tin cup, and you dip into the spring and you drink and you drink and you drink again. And boy, it feels so good. And then you look over onto the far side of the basin of the spring, and there it is, a dead, decaying raccoon right in the water of the spring from which you drank. That defiled the spring. You drank particles, bacteria, germs, pollution from that dead animal, and now it is within you. Hey, this is the disgusting dead animal sermon. Neat. Out of us come these evil things. But we have a Savior, Jesus Christ. He is God in the flesh. He is God, the second person of the Godhead, the Son of God, who took on himself our human nature, true man, a real flesh and blood human being, yet without sin, because he is true God, and he was not conceived as you and I are. Leave the man out of the equation, and hey, I guess you've got someone who is sin-free, at least in the case of our Lord Jesus Christ. He comes into the world under the obligation to fulfill all of God's commandments for you and for me. He comes into the world as the Holy One of God. He comes into the world without that stain of original sin that is more than just a stain in our case. It's like a whole dump truck load full of tar burying us. But not Jesus. As the Holy One of God, he leads a holy life in your place. As the Holy One of God, he does not have any of these things that defile coming out of him. As the Holy One of God, who willingly bears the cross on your behalf, who willingly bears this condemnation and guilt of sin that he doesn't deserve because it comes to him from outside. It's your sin and my sin, the world's sin. He is the one who, by his holy, precious blood and his innocent sufferings and death, makes that which is defiled to be clean and pure and holy and acceptable in God's eyes. Out of his side come water and blood when his side is pierced with the spear. Out of his side comes the gift of your baptism, comes the gift of holy baptism in which our sins are washed away. And we are brought to faith in Christ if we are baptized as infants, and we are incorporated into God's household. Out of his side comes his holy precious blood, which you drink in Holy Communion for the forgiveness of your sins. Out of his sufferings and death come the gift of his body given to you to eat in the sacrament. Out of his words, "Father, forgive them, for they know what they do," come the forgiveness of sins for you, by which you, who apart from Jesus would be forever defiled, forever unclean, forever outcast from God. But instead, you are brought near. You are washed. You are cleansed. You are made holy for the sake of Jesus. Out of our hearts come sin and death and guilt and condemnation. But out of Jesus comes the healing and cleansing medicine of the gospel. Out of him who loved the Lord his God with all of his heart, all of his soul, all of his mind, for you, for your forgiveness, for your salvation, so that now, in him, by God's grace, through faith in Jesus, you have a new heart. You have a new life. You are a new creation in Christ. You live for God. Your sins are not counted against you, but you are clean. You are holy. Not for the sake of what is within you, but for Jesus' sake and his alien righteousness credited to you, cleansing you, making you a new creation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.